Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome to Lansing, Michigan. And if Todd could do me a big favor and take out the fact that I can hear myself about a second and a half later than I can. That would really help the cause.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the Sunbury Motors Studio is on location today in Lansing, Michigan, where Penn State plays Michigan State tonight. There's no Thursday night baseball tonight. Or Thursday night football, I mean, tonight. Their last game was last week. Two games coming up on Saturday. And that includes the Steelers playing on Saturday. And the odd thing is, let's go back to the question I asked on Tuesday to Neil Kulong. Who's playing better right now, the Steelers or the Eagles? And Todd, I would have to say, even though the Eagles are no question the better team, there's no question they're the better team. I think you'd agree with that, right? But the Steelers, at least right now, are playing better.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt there with that. it just it just seems, it's hard for me to fathom that Mitch Trubisky beat out this Mason Rudolph for the backup. I the way he's played the last two games and the way Trubisky played before that, it's strange to me that it took so long to get to Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, you know what, though? Something that we don't know, all right, and this is always important, and I know this from my experience. If you're not at practice every day, you don't know who's 1, 2, 3, and why. Now, it just turns out that in game performance, Mason Rudolph, to his credit, has kept himself ready. He's kept himself ready. So that's fine. I mean, I think that's great that he's kept himself ready. But when you sit there and you look at it, it's been a dramatic difference between the two. Mason Rudolph is a guy that Steeler fans have never been enamored with. Now, out of necessity, they love him. and that's the crazy thing about it. And now he's been doing well, and guess what? He's doing well, and they love him. It's all about performance. It's a crazy team. Mike Tomlin is now going to go through another season without a losing record. Okay. And he doesn't like talking about that. I think one of the reasons he doesn't like talking about it is that he's very much a guy that's in the moment. And I mean, I get them. They play Baltimore. I don't know. Have you heard what Baltimore's plan is yet?
I think I saw yesterday that Lamar's sitting.
Lamar's going to sit. All right. And that's fine. Baltimore's in a position they're going to get a week off anyway. I may be wrong about this because, obviously, I've never been in this position. But I would play guys a half and then the first series of the second half because I want to keep them sharp. I mean, there have been a lot of times where I've watched teams that have sat players, especially their quarterback, and when we got to the playoffs, there was rust. I'm talking about the teams that had the bye week, right? So, in other words, that means Lamar will not play, which also means he won't get hit, but he won't play for 3 weeks. I mean, he's not going to play for 3 weeks.
You know, he gets beat up so much, as I wonder if this is a way to get him closer to 100%. Because, you know,
Todd, certain guys play in such a way where they understand how not to get beat up. And, yes, he does get hit. But he's really good at getting to the sideline. He's really good at sliding. That's why I always, like Kyler Murray, for example, for a long time was able to avoid hits because of his baseball background. You're like, his baseball background? What do you mean by his baseball background? You watch how Kyler Murray slides, right? He slides like a baseball player, right? He knows how to slide. And I think you can avoid contact like that. Now, sacks and so forth do happen. But I'll say this, Lamar does seem to have the ability that, yes, he does get hit, but he avoids certain hits because I think he's smart about how he does things. You know, if he has to slide, he'll slide. If he is so quick, he can get out of bounds and not get hit. I think that's really helped along the way. It's also a long season. Everybody's beat up at this time of the year, so I do understand the inclination to sit guys. But I always think it's a tricky decision for any coach. Remember, Tony Dungy used to sit a lot of the Indianapolis Colts when they were in this position when he had Peyton Manning. Remember that? And then they've really come out and had to fight their way through the first playoff game. And I've never forgotten that there's that rust factor of not playing for 3 weeks. And there are only two teams that are going to be in this spot, San Francisco and Baltimore. Now, I know the Rams against the 49ers are resting guys, but the Rams are going to have to play. They're going to have to play next weekend.
I think the Chiefs are too. I think I saw Mahomes isn't playing this week.
Yeah, he's not playing. But again, they're going to have to play next weekend. This will be one of those years Kansas City doesn't get the bye. In fact, it could work out where Kansas City would host and then may have to go on the road for the second round. And Patrick Mahomes, by the way, has never started a road playoff game. How about that?
That just doesn't seem true. I know it's true, but it seems. That's one of those records that or statements that seems it shouldn't be true that is.
It's bizarre. He never has started a road playoff game. But, you know, I don't blame coaches for wanting to do that because, you know, you want your team the healthiest it can be. And look, 3 weeks between games, your body at least starts to feel better. Right, because these guys, they may be playing, but they're all beat up right now. I mean, they really are. That's why the Thursday night football thing has always been problematic. I know you want the $1 billion. I got it. All right? And the NFL wants the billion. And the Players Association does have to say yes, but they're looking at the billion as, hey, look, everybody's going to get more money because of the cap number is going to go up for everybody because they're getting the billion from Amazon Prime. From Prime Video, but my goodness, that's a lot of sacrifice. And I'll give you one. Next year, Christmas Day, guess what? I think even though Christmas is a Wednesday this year, you know, it doesn't go back just one day because it's leap year. So it goes everything, you know, after February 29th, everything goes back 2 days compared to last year, right, in terms of the dates and what day it falls on. So Christmas, after being on a Monday this year, is in 2023, is going to be on a Wednesday next year. There's a lot of talk. The NFL may try and put a game on Wednesday night because the ratings were so astronomical on Christmas Day for the triple header that they may put a game on Wednesday with the idea that then the year after, in 25, when it goes from Wednesday to Thursday, they may do a doubleheader. It's the money tree. It's called the NFL. Unreal. Wrestling fans. Penn State, by the way, is wrestling at Oregon State this weekend. I think they're wrestling there Friday night. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think that's what's on our schedule.
Yeah, Friday night, Penn State wrestling Oregon State out in Corvallis. We got some news about the future of the NCAA Wrestling Championships on TV. We'll tell you about that in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, here we go. So ESPN is going to continue to be the home of the NCAA Wrestling Championship. But also interesting is it's going to continue to be the home of the NCAA Women's Basketball Championship. Remember how everyone talked about, and they're talking for years, about separating the women's basketball contract from the group contract. If I'm reading this right, that didn't happen. The NCAA and ESPN announced today that 40 NCAA championships, including women's basketball, volleyball, baseball, softball, will be on ESPN for the next 8 years. The agreement includes the rights to 21 women's championships, 19 men's championships. Division I women's basketball, women's volleyball, women's gymnastics, and the football championship subdivision title game will all be on ABC. More than 800 hours of NCAA championships will appear on ESPN linear networks throughout the year, with more than 2,300 combined on linear and digital platforms. They've had the women's tournament since 2003, and they've carried the men's College World Series since 1980. The agreement includes all 24 sports covered in ESPN's previous agreement and adds coverage of the NCAA Division I tennis championships for both men and women, as well as men's gymnastics. It extends the international rights for men's basketball. I'm sure that's big to all of you. The NCAA in 2011 agreed to a 12-year, $500 million deal. Charlie Baker told Sports Business Journal that the new deal is worth $115 million annually. So, $115 million annually is, well, let's just make sure we get this right. Let's see, it's close to a billion. When you cover the entire 8 years. And so they're going to go from $500 million to $920 million. Okay. Now, how much this is spread out? Like, does the women's championship get more of this? I don't know. Over the past several years, ESPN's, okay, this is all, this is Baker, this statement, nobody cares about that. It's all that blah, blah, blah stuff where some PR guy or woman made it up. Men's championships include soccer, football, that's the, obviously, FCS stuff, cross country, water polo, indoor and outdoor track and field, swimming and diving, wrestling, ice hockey, gymnastics, fencing, volleyball, lacrosse, tennis, baseball, and the Division II and III basketball championships other than the Division II title game. Women's championships include soccer, field hockey, all divisions of volleyball, cross country, indoor, outdoor, track and field, swimming and diving, all divisions of basketball, ice hockey, bowling, gymnastics, fencing, beach volleyball, lacrosse, tennis, softball, water polo. And they also have the NIT for men's basketball and the women's basketball invitation tournament. That's brand new that they'll get as well. The deal begins in September. So they didn't separate the women's tournament. At least it doesn't seem like they did.
I saw before we came on air that John Aron tweeted out that they did not separate them out, and he seemed to be a little surprised by that.
Everybody's surprised by it. I mean, everybody is. That was the big push, the big push, the big push. Now, putting the championship game on ABC was inspired because it opened the door to more people to watch, and they ended up getting a little bit better, like, what, 9.2 million viewers for the LSU-Iowa National Championship game, which is great. And the semifinals, which were exclusively on ESPN, did very well, but, you know, but there's several early-round NCAA men's tournament games that, you know, I'm just going by numbers, that did better. Like, you know, Penn State, Texas was $6.6 million. It outrated the semifinals. But when they put it on ABC, which opened up more doors to watch, more avenues to watch, people watched, and it was compelling. LSU, Angel Reese, Iowa, Kate and Clark was compelling. And it was, and it's the only show in town. Okay, you're playing at what, I don't know what time they play, 3:30, 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. It was really smart and well done by all parties. But they didn't separate it out. And that's been the big push, the big push. They lumped it in. I mean, this is an 8-year deal, Todd, which means that this deal is going to run through 2033.
I mean, I thought there was talk about pushing or separating the softball and the baseball too, but nothing got separated out.
Right, nothing did. Well, I know wrestling would like to be separated out, but you know, I mean, people don't realize wrestling last year, it did fine. I mean, it was down from the year before, and they had, I think, what, 452,000 viewers for it, which is good, down from the previous 2 years. But part of the issue, and again, just so everybody knows, it was opposite the Penn State-Texas basketball game, and that was a problem.
To prove that mobile from Pentel and Data Business Voice brings the office everywhere you are, I'm to connect with my team while falling 15,000 feet!
We're here, boss. We hear you loud and clear.
Thanks, Janice. You know, companies today need affordable cloud-based unlimited calling, conferencing, mobile synergy, and easy upgrades to grow with your business to keep you, well, truly mobile.
Pentel Data Business Voice. Anywhere you are.
Janice?
Yeah, boss?
Yeah, I'm gonna need a little help.
Discover the power of expression with Ad One Advertising and Design. They're the area's locally owned one-stop destination for premium promotional items and trendy apparel. We're talking about apparel with brand names like The North Face, Under Armour, and Carhartt, just to name a few. Sleek pens that speak volumes to stylish drinkware from Corksicle, Igloo, and Hydro Flask that keep your name in hand. Ad One has that item that makes your business or organization pop. Get noticed. Get remembered. Get Ad One Advertising and Design and elevate your brand today. Visit mypromotionalneeds.com. To see for yourself.
News brief. A shooter is dead after opening fire at a high school in Perry, Iowa today. Dallas County Sheriff Adam Infante.
There is no further danger to the public. The community is safe. We're just now working backwards, trying to figure out everything that happened and make notifications.
Multiple people were injured there. We are still combing through court documents linked to Jeffrey Epstein, but criminal defense attorney Joseph Tully tells us being named isn't automatically criminal.
Not everything that he did was criminal. He did a lot of philanthropical work. So it could mean that he did legitimate work with people who were out to do something good.
CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson is tracking storms that are headed to the northeast.
During the storm, you will be seeing snow, sleet, and also rain, depending where you are. The closer to the coast, the more likely it is that you're going to be seeing rain. The further inland, that's the jackpot zone for snow.
CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
On this Thursday, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. You're dealing with a great service staff there. You're dealing with a great sales department, sales staff. Fabulous pre-owned inventory. They go over every vehicle with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department. Routine, difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Steve Jones, Todd Hummel, great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Okay, so Mike Farrell Sports. Mike, for a long time, was with a lot of different recruiting services and is considered to, you know, has a lot of respect from a lot of people. And then he branched out on his own. And he has a lot of opinions about college football. So today, he wrote an op-ed. Oh, geez. Just lost it here. Figures. An op-ed on what to do about opt-outs. And he says, you're not going to like it. But he's tying it all to money. And all the money that players should give back if they opt out. Now, Todd and I are not advocating any of this. But, again, let's at least go to at least what his thought process is, so you can at least hear it and provoke some conversation about it. Because a lot of people are really ticked off about opt-outs. A lot of, fans. Well, you don't understand. Well, guess what? How about think about the fans' point of view? Don't sit there and say you don't understand. They don't understand us. Why don't you understand the fans? They have thoughts and feelings too. So here's what Mike Farrell proposed. And Todd, your reactions are going to be great here. One, we need your tuition for this academic year paid back to us in full. You're on scholarship to play football, and you need to finish that commitment for us to honor that scholarship. Scholarships are on a year-by-year basis, so we aren't looking for anything prior to this season. That's one.
Coming out hot.
Next. Okay. Okay. Two, we need you to pay back your room and board and books and your meal plan for being a football player. Once again, we paid these things with the agreement that you'd play college football for us. That includes all scheduled practices and games. Three. Oh, boy. We'd like for you to refund a portion of your NIL payments to the sponsors who supported you. We don't require you to pay the whole thing back, as name, image, and likeness are outside the athletic department, and this can be negotiated with each sponsor. However, for us to continue to have a good relationship with our collective, they need to be made whole if you're not going to honor your full commitment, as others that follow may be impacted by your decision to opt out. Oh, boy. Okay. Next, four, you'll be billed a percentage of the bowl tickets purchased by our fans. We're not asking for anything near the full amount, and we won't hold you accountable for their travel expenses and other details, but we feel they do deserve some compensation for their purchase of tickets to see you play. Five. And finally, we won't be paying for any of your travel to our bowl game. You won't be allowed to be on the sidelines even if you pay your own way, and you won't be getting any of the gifts, perks from our bowl sponsor. This is all for bowl participants only. By the way, six, all tutoring, strength and conditioning, nutritional service, and physical and mental health services are on us. Thanks. That's Mike Farrell's column on opt-outs. Whew.
That is a lot.
I'll tell you this. He swung.
Yeah.
He swung.
I think in the perfect world some of that makes sense, but I don't know how you get anybody to agree to any of it, first off.
Right. Well, look for in the next, we'll see, I don't know, period of time, but it's going to be in this the first half of the calendar year. Look for the Big Ten to take a leadership role in trying to get some of this straightened out. And we'll see what they want to do in that regard and what proposals they come up with, because they know they have to start getting control. There has to be some control taken over the portal, some control taken over NIL, and some control over opt-outs. Now, the 12-game playoff will stop, in all likelihood, I'm not going to say it's perfect, but we'll stop in all likelihood the flow of opt-outs for 12 schools in bowl games. That would prevent the opt-outs in 11 games that are played. Four first-round games, the four quarterfinals, the two semifinals, and the championship game. Okay. And that is... that's why I think when they go for the next 2 years, it'll be 12. I think, Todd, I think when they get, when this current contract is over and they go with multiple bidders, and Fox, by the way, has already said, we are bidding on the college football playoff. They've already said they are. And not only that, they've been bold in saying that they're going to bid aggressively on the college football playoff. I'm not saying they get all of it, but by bidding aggressively, they're going to drive the number up. And I think with the number of games being played, multiple TV network partners are going to be needed with more games. And I think, and this is just an opinion, they'll go the next 2 years at 12, but with a new TV, with new TV partners, plural, and a new contract, I think it's going to go to 16. In other words, you won't get a first-round bye. Teams 1 through 4 will have to play. And it'll expand to 16, which then means 15 of those games will not have opt-outs.
Sorry, I went blank for a second. I just imagined explaining to some people how you have to get the Penn State playoff game on Peacock maybe in a couple years.
Well, it's funny because tonight's basketball game's on Peacock.
Uh-oh.
Noah Eagle and Robbie Hummel doing the game tonight. Yeah, I believe tonight's basketball game's on Peacock. But it's also on WKOK, so it's good.
Yeah, listen to it on the radio.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So.
I think I agree more with your kind of view on the opt-outs where, you know, the Bulls have to take some, you know, some agency in this and maybe come up with an insurance because, you know, these kids aren't playing not because they don't, you know, they don't want to play football. They're just, you know, they're thinking more about their future than they are thinking about their current landscape of, you know, the last college game they're going to play.
Yeah, now that's not going to probably come into play with the playoffs. All right, so the major bowls, Rose, Sugar, Cotton, Fiesta, Orange, and Peach Bowls, they don't really have to worry about it, I don't think. But when you're looking at the Citrus, the ReliaQuest, the Gator, the Alamo, you know, bowls like that, they may have to consider something like that. Because when I'm watching the game, although you get two different viewpoints of this, okay? So let's do two different viewpoints. We know how Penn State fans feel about not seeing Johnny Dixon, Kalen King, Olu, you know, those guys playing in the game, right? People have made it, you know, apparent. And not only that, the second half of the game, there were several players that did not play the second half of the game against Ole Miss. All right. So I think Penn State fans have expressed their opinion about that. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now let's express the opinion on ticket sales. I realize that these are TV shows. College football, college basketball are TV shows. And that's why Penn State plays at noon, they play at 3:30, they play at 7:30, you know. I mean, basketball. Right? So far this year I've had games at... Did I have a 10 a.m. game this year? No, but I had an 11 a.m. game. I had a noon game, 2 o'clock. Eventually, I'll have 4 o'clock, 4:15, 4:30. I'll have a 6 o'clock game. I've got 6:30, 7, 7:30, 8:30, and a 9 o'clock game. We're all over the lot. Tonight's 7 o'clock. Sunday's at noon. Next Wednesday's at 6:30. And then the game at Purdue, I want to say, is at 2:15, I think. All right. So you can see it's all over. There's no consistency on start time because it's a TV show. And when you do that overhead, like the Goodyear blimp is really cool when you're at the whiteout. Look at this scene. The Goodyear blimp is really cool when you're at the Rose Bowl. Look at this scene. Right? Okay. Not so cool when it's going over a dome. Yeah, there's the top of the dome. That's great. But where it really comes into play, where it doesn't help you, is let's go to the blimp and it's over the Citrus Bowl. And you look down at a Tennessee-Iowa game, and the two upper decks at Camping World Stadium are empty. Now, that's the Citrus Bowl, which usually does a great job promoting it, getting people out, right? The lower deck, the lower bowl was pretty much filled. Then you watch the Fiesta Bowl. The lower bowl's not even filled because people don't want to pay for it, right? Remember, I'm an Oregon fan. Do I want to see them go play Liberty? No offense, with all due respect to Liberty, no. Right? And, you know, that's the adorable olive branch game. I mean, like, see, when somebody asked in the pregame show about the College Football Committee selecting bowls, you know what the biggest issue they had? You know, after they're done with the four, you know what the biggest issue they had with the other four games is where to place the Group of Five team. That's always the biggest issue. So, for example, the only two places they could have put the Group of Five team this year were the Fiesta Bowl or the Peach Bowl. You want to know why? Because the Orange Bowl already has an agreement with the ACC champion. So that one's filled. And they were able to, and they had a first selection or whatever. The Orange Bowl didn't select it, but it was the first one that was slotted that they did. Okay? The Fiesta Bowl, of course, Independence, the Cotton Bowl they were not going to send that team to the Cotton Bowl. They weren't going to send them because Tulane was there last year. And they have an informal arrangement. We're like, we're not going to send you the Group of Five team to your bowl 2 years in a row because it kills attendance and it kills ratings. So you got to. That's the one they have to work around all the time. Where do we send them? Peach Bowl's to Independence. Fiesta Bowl's to Independence. In terms of, like, you know, there's no conference affiliation. And that's always the toughest one to schedule. So now let's take the other part. The other part is this. If you're a Tennessee fan and you watch Joe Milton be your quarterback all year, and Joe Milton, for the most part, did a good job. I mean, to be frank with you, Todd, he has some skill, but for the most part, he's just another guy. You know, it's not like I didn't see him start and play against Michigan against Penn State. He did. Penn State beat him, and he didn't play well. He's, you know, I'm going to get ready for the draft. Like, I don't know. He wouldn't be high on my draft radar, but that's my personal opinion. But they got to see the freshman play at quarterback. And to his credit, he turned in a really terrific performance. For Tennessee fans, that actually probably had to be somewhat fun to watch him play, don't you think?
That's what my thought was when you were talking about that is, you know, at least, you know, somebody like Tennessee got to see what they thought was their future. I think you're more excited if you get to see a quarterback. I don't think... You know, you got to see your future with Penn State, but I don't think anybody's really excited to see the next up-and-coming defensive back like they were against, you know.
Right, as opposed to a quarterback, right? And, now, for example, so for Penn State, for example, Zion Tracy is going to be, in my opinion, in watching him every day, he is going to end up being, if he continues on the track he's on, a really good corner at Penn State. But essentially, that was a starting point for him on Saturday. Now, he played a little bit here and there, and he's on special teams, so he played in every game. But that was really essentially a starting point. He had never played that many reps in a game against that kind of quality receiver, and that's a starting point. As time goes, he has everything in the toolbox to be a really good corner. Cam Miller, I think, is going to be a terrific corner, and he's had a lot of reps. He's going to be a terrific corner. He really is. Elliot Washington played a lot more in this game. Elliot Washington has a chance to be really good. It's just a question of him getting now everything in a defensive scheme that he needs to pick up, because when he was in high school, while Tracy was in high school, they played multiple defenses and multiple coverages. Elliot Washington, when in his high school, they played cover three all the time. That's what they played. So you have to get used to doing that. But, again, are you excited to see a corner play? But the quarterback part? Okay. Yeah. And that was exciting for them. Next, let's get this a big, big return, in my opinion. Devon Ellis. Devon Ellis announced yesterday that he's returning for his sixth season. This is his COVID year. And Devon Ellis in the final month to 6 weeks of the season, including the bowl game, because I thought he played terrific against Ole Miss. He played really well. And he is the leader in that defensive line room. And I told you that a year ago. He was the leader in that defensive line room. When P.J. Mustipher was exiting, they said, who would be the leader? I said, Devon Ellis will be. Getting him back is a big deal. I was glad he finally announced it. I mean, it's something that Jack and I knew early last week, but, we're just glad to see him confirm it, which is great. And I can't say enough good things about him. And I think as a football player, he's just getting better and better. And, his stretch run was outstanding and exactly what they needed. And we'll see what other announcements are made between now and the start of the semester. Okay. All right. Take a break. Come back. More in a moment. Great to have you with us today here in Lansing, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. So, it's not just what happens, like people going into the portal or people you get out of the portal. A lot of times it's also people you're able to maintain. And Penn State maintains Devon Ellis at defensive tackle. And he's one of those guys that it doesn't take long for you to get to know him. And within 2 minutes, he's just a really terrific guy to be around. I can't say enough good things about him. I mentioned a year ago when people would ask me where would the leadership come from, he was always one of the first names I mentioned. I felt like he had taken the baton from P.J. Mustipher, the baton of leadership. Both McDonough guys. And as time went in the season, he, Zane Durant, Akeem Beeman, they were getting better and better as time went. And then Ellis, I just felt in the last 5-6 weeks of the season and the bowl game against Ole Miss, had elevated his game where you're like, boy, I want to see more play like that from him in a Penn State uniform. And the fact that he decided to come back, that was important. It may not have been a portal get, but it was an important get. And now you look at what they have at defensive tackle. Ellis, Durant. Durant played very well this year. Durant played really well this year. Ellis, Durant, Keziah Izzard. Then we'll see what Akeem Beeman decides to do. And you have Jordan Vandenberg. Okay. And then we'll see. And then, of course, the forgotten guy in all this is, Lonzo Ford, who transferred in from Old Dominion. I don't know what's going to, his recovery is, he's been on a steady recovery pace, which is good. But we'll see how that plays out. And the guy now you want to see is what happens with Beeman. Same thing in the offensive line. There's one guy in particular I'm thinking the offensive line. We'll see what he wants to decide. I think I know which way the guy's going, but that's not... But it is not for me to say... It's not for me to say. It's for the player to say. See, and that goes back to Doug's question about James Franklin yesterday with opt-outs. It's. I think people look at gamesmanship about whether a guy is playing or not, but sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes it's a case of the player wants to be the one to say what they're doing or not doing, and so the coach is in that position of not of what they can and can't say. And it all goes back to recruiting. You don't want to be the coach that says, nope, we're going to do it my way, and that's it. And then all of a sudden in recruiting, it's like, see, if you don't do it his way, you know what I mean? It's that's how difficult this gets.